Previously on X-Men.
Okay, Spidey. Next time, use the front door.
Well, what do you know? Put out flypaper, catch a spider. Make one wrong move, please. And you're shish kebab.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast Beyond. This is episode 77. I am one of your hosts, Steve Jones. Mike, joining me is Eduardo. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be back.
Yes, we are back. We're talking more Triple X stuff. No, I'm sorry. X-Men stuff. Who knows? There might be an Axel Braun thing of that. I don't know. Does every other superhero thing. Anyway, yes, X-Men Season 3 from 1992. We are here to talk about that. And we're going to get right to it. Get to just the facts. We'll be back after this.
New rule. Never visit the Pentagon without a roadmap. Who were those clowns anyway?
He's in the danger room.
Bad news. I was in there practicing. I left it on.
What program was running?
Deadly Sentinels.
My spider sense is going crazy. Okay, so I'm gonna be a little late getting home.
Heads up, guys!
Hey gang, it's Optimus Solo and I'm here to give you just the facts on X-Men the Animated Series. X-Men the Animated Series is an American animated television series which debuted in 1992 and ran to 1997, lasting 5 seasons and airing 76 episodes. It aired on the Fox network as part of its Fox Kids Saturday morning lineup. This was Marvel Comics' second attempt at an animated X-Men TV series, following the pilot X-Men Pride of the X-Men, which was not picked up. Saban Entertainment was contracted to produce the show and hired a small studio, Graz Entertainment, to produce the episodes as it did not have the sufficient staff at the time to handle production in-house. Graz employed the creative staff, wrote and designed each episode, and even drew the storyboards. The voice work was done using Canadian studios, and the animation was done by the South Korean studio, Acom. The plot was loosely adapted from famous storylines and events in the X-Men comics, such as the Dark Phoenix Saga, Days of Future Past, the Phalanx Covenant, and the Legacy Virus. The show features a team lineup similar to that of the early 1990s X-Men comic books. The lineup largely resembles that of Cyclops' Blue Team, established in the early issues of the second X-Men comic series. The series' first 13 episodes were notable for being possibly the first time ever that an American animated series had a full season of episodes flow one into the next, i.e. a continuity-based show, something the series' producers fought heavily for. However, starting with Season 3, most episodes were shown in random order. Each episode was assigned two different numbers internally. One is for script order, which indicates the number assigned by the production company. The other is the production order, which are the official episode numbers assigned by Fox Children's Network, indicating the order that they actually received the episodes from the production company. These both vary from the order in which the series actually aired, especially after season 3. So we have three different sets of orders in which these episodes could be organized. According to series writer Stephen Melching, the script order is the best guide in terms of overall series continuity, as this is how the stories were originally envisioned to flow together. The X-Men animated show was the longest-running Marvel Comics animated series for 18 years. It lasted 6 years during its 5-season run, which was the record until it was eventually beaten by The Ultimate Spider-Man when its 77th episode aired on October 17, 2015. So from 96 all the way until 2015, X-Men was the longest-running Marvel Comics animated series. The series, though, was canceled after the episode Graduation Day, which aired on September 20th, 1997. And now for some Toon trivia. David Hemblum, the voice of Magneto in the show, was offered the chance to play Magneto in the X-Men live-action movie. Hemblum wanted the role, but he was forced to turn down the role due to scheduling conflicts with his show Earth Final Conflict, which aired in 1997. Also, the sound effect used for Magneto's magnetic powers is the same sound effect used for the Klingon cloaking device in Star Trek III: The Search for Spock from 1984. Today's episode specifically focuses on Season 3. Season 3 lasted 19 episodes and aired from July 29, 1994 until June 11, 1995. The third season focuses on the cosmic force, the Phoenix, which merges with Jean Grey and eventually turns her into the malevolent and powerful Dark Phoenix. The season also introduced the Shi'ar Empire, who wants to stop the Dark Phoenix, including Lalandria and Gladiator. Other storylines include the introduction of Wolverine's former lover-turned-mercenary, Lady Deathstrike, former X-Men member Iceman, and the villainous Shadow King. Now, after the Phoenix saga in Season 3, episodes were aired in a more random sequence. Also, due to animation problems with a few episodes, several would actually not appear until the 4th or even the 5th season. Season 3 is where the episode order gets confusing. The Juggernaut Returns, Nightcrawler, and Weapon X Lies in Videotape episodes were originally a part of Season 4. However, they were pushed up to be included in Season 3 to make up for the lack of the episodes No Mutant is an Island, A Deal with the Devil, and Longshot, which got pushed back. In fact, No Mutant is an Island was supposed to explain Jean Grey's return, which would then set up the Dark Phoenix saga, causing some problems if you were to watch the series in actually air date order versus script order. Also to note of Season 3, we have the two-parter Savage Land and two multi-part episodes, the Dark Phoenix Saga, which is a four-parter, and the Phoenix Saga, which is a five-parter. So that's just the facts for today, and now let's toss it over to TFG1 Mike and company as they discuss in detail Season 3 of X-Men, the Animated Series.
Whoa! Huh? Guess the ride's over.
Not for you, it ain't.
Enough! What do you want here?
I came to see you, Professor Charles Xavier. So that's it. I'm mutating. Into what? I don't know. Can you cure me?
I'm sorry, Spider-Man. My work is not to cure mutants. I've built this complex, this school, to train them. I help them accept who and what they are.
Accept it? But I don't want to be a freak.
Watch your mouth, pal. Being a mutant's a gift.
Well, what if this gift turns me into some kind of eight-legged monster?
I wish I had an answer for you. I am sorry for your pain.
Don't worry about my pain. Worry about yours. If I mutate into a dangerous creature, and you have to stop me.
All right, folks, we are back. Thank you so much, Mr. Just the Facts person. We're going to kind
of... How very Jerry Lewis of you.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, Mr. Just the Facts person.
Mm-hmm. There are no balls of fire who are here. Frying Laven. Yeah. No. I want it to be funny. Ha ha, not funny. Ho ho. That was from Animaniacs. Mr. Director. So for this one, we're going to kind of skip our history with the show because we kind of already told you guys So we're going to get right into the season breakdown. X-Men Season 3, highlights and lowlights of the season for episodes and all of that. We got to talk about the episode order. I'm going to read this directly. I know everyone hates when I do this, but I don't care. It's information. After the Phoenix Saga episodes were aired in a more random sequence, also due to animation problems with a few episodes, several would not appear until the fourth or even fifth season. So, season 3, 4, and 5 are really fucked up when it comes to figuring out what goes where.
Yep.
So, we kick off this season with Out of the Past two-parter, which is all about Wolverine and his former sweetheart and girlfriend, Yuriko, a.k.a. Lady Deathstrike.
Yep. Which, wow, I'm surprised they were able to throw the Reavers in, because I remember, like, last season when we had Mr. Sinister, his, you know, his minions were the Nasty Boys, because, like, they couldn't use the Marauders, because first time we ever saw the Marauders, they were, you know, massacring an entire population, so
right.
The fact that they were able to include the Reavers, because the Reavers, yeah, did their share of, you know, they're pretty violent characters. So the fact that they were able to use them, you know, is just I'm kind of astonished.
I think astonished. You say?
Okay. No.
Do we need, you know, to jump to Astonishing X-Men?
No. Pun not intended.
So, no. Reavers, I don't know the comic origin for them, because I mainly... Okay, folks, and I've said this before in the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Most of the comic stuff that happened in cartoons in the 90s, I learned about it from the cartoon and then went back to the... I was not a big comic reader as a kid. I was more of a cartoon watcher. So... to find out that these were adaptations of original stories by Claremont or whoever the hell at Marvel is like, oh, okay, that's cool. They adapted it. That's great. The Reavers, to me, basically what you're telling me, that they're more violent in the comic, or which most things are more violent in the comic than they are in the cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, except, you know, when the Joker shoots Barbara. And anyway, that's horrible.
Yeah.
They look pretty tame in this. That's probably why they put them in.
Well, it's probably a little easier to do the Reavers, because for the most part they're just cyborg mercs. Whereas something like the Marauders might be a little harder to do, just because of their nature is just pretty violent. You know, hell, one of them is a guy named Riptide, who basically spins into a cyclone and throws out, like, throwing stars and stuff like that. So, you know, might be a little harder to adapt than just, okay, this guy's wearing cybernetic armor and he has a BFG. Okay, yeah, we can do that. What I remember most about the opening two-parter is the fact that this was on not, like, it debuted not Saturday mornings, but actually in the evenings. It was like, I think, beyond this opening two-parter... and, like, other stuff, Fox actually put this as, like, a special evening thing, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely prime time.
Yeah, it was, I forget if what they had with it was Power Rangers or something else. Like, I forget what they had with it, but yeah, it was a couple of things from their Saturday morning lineup, and it was, like, you know, special evening presentation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know at one point it was Power Rangers, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
At one of these points, they had a Power Rangers two-parter.
Yeah, it might have been White Light, maybe, when Tommy comes back because his green powers are gone and they create the White Ranger. So it may have been White, or
I think it was something where Rita Repulsa created, like, an evil Green Ranger clone. Yeah. I think it was that one, and we had the Power Rangers, like, in Revolutionary War times.
Oh boy, I can't. Concentrating on X-Men is hard enough for me. I can't even begin to think, trying to remember Power Rangers stuff right now. What I liked about season 3, the opening to this and whatever else, like, Out of the Past at the end of it. It has, I don't, on Hulu, they have coming next week, The Phoenix, and it has this huge, like, I took a picture, I took a screen cap because I was watching it on my actual television, because, hey, I have a TV now, well, I don't, it's not mine, it's my fiance's, but whatever.
You have access.
Access, yes, exactly. You know, so I'm watching it on there, and I took a screen. I'm like, oh, it's not really a screen cap. It's me with my new smartphone angling it to the right way to just show the TV thing where it says, coming next week, The Phoenix Saga. Yeah. I like Out of the Past. Again, gives more backstory to Wolverine, more character depth to him. Very, very cool. Just... really, really enjoyed it. And then The Phoenix Saga is... it's some deep stuff, folks.
Yeah. Well, and some cool cameos, too.
Yep.
Including a certain friendly neighborhood guy that everybody knows and loves.
Did he show up?
Kinda, sorta.
Not really.
It's like, when they had all the... you know, when they went back to Earth and you kinda saw everybody, you know, like, all the stuff happening and... you know, all these heroes trying to like contain the disaster. You saw like you saw his hand come out and like web people out of the way.
Oh, okay, yeah, because you know we had the Mutant Agenda 2-parter in his series. Yeah. So yeah, yep. Very cool.
Yeah, so he pulled an appearance. It's like, yeah, guys, remember I live here too.
Mm-hmm. But the difference with Spider-Man 94 and X-Men 92, and everybody knows this, the X-Mansion is upstate New York, and Peter is in Queens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But still, you know, all the world was in danger, so, you know, Pete could take a minute to...
rear his save ugly
a few,
head.
Save a few lives, you know. War Machine saved a couple of kids, think and they even had a cameo by Mishinari, which it's like, okay, yay, Storm's godson, whatever. Where's Quicksilver?
Where's Scarlet Witch?
Yeah, exactly. Where's Quicksilver? Because we have other speedsters, right? Yeah, we do. So
yeah,
why do we have to have this kid show
you know,
up?
There's Barry Allen and Wally West and Jay Garrick.
Wrong universe.
Oh right, whoops.
Wrong. Okay, wrong company. Come on. Marvel. Although, man, love Jay Garrick, especially John Wesley Shipp as Jay.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I hope he shows up in season 4. I don't know if he actually
season
will.
Season 3. Well,
no, season 4.
No, wait, no.
Flash, season 4 now, yes.
It's season 4 now? Wow.
Yes, geez. Flash season 4. Season 3 was
lying.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I will get you caught up after this. Anyway, The Phoenix Saga, how do we want to kind of talk about this thing? Because it's an epic four-parter space battle Shi'ar thing.
Well, I mean, Shi'ar, and then plus, yeah, it's, I mean, it, well, I know that the first time the live-action movies decided to do this, they had it completely Earthbound, but this Phoenix Saga is one of the most iconic X-Men stories of all time, and it's one of those things where you gotta have the Shi'ar, you gotta have the space and all that, you know, so I mean that's just the only way to do it, and you know, just it's just like, you know, I'm sorry to say that if you can't have the Shi'ar and all that as a part of it, then don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the Phoenix Saga, I think, was also shown. Was it also shown in the evenings?
Yeah, it was probably also,
I think it was. Shown, or,
yeah.
Or at least, if not in the evenings, it definitely was a weekday thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it definitely was a weekday thing because I do remember that it was not done as a, that they definitely did it as a, as like, yeah, that they definitely had, you know, they had it not just on Saturday mornings.
I remember. Absolutely, because it was so big, and like you said, it's one of the biggest, most important X-Men stories of all time. Yeah.
What I found interesting though is that for those who know about comic lore, we have Phoenix Saga, and it pretty much ends with the heroes triumph, universe is saved. And Xavier gets to hang around with his alien girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have Dark Phoenix Saga, which ended in this very bittersweet moment because, Jean Grey manages to assert herself and she sacrifices herself to save the universe. You know, and poor Scott is like, I've got a dead girlfriend now. Great.
Yeah, she's not really dead.
Yeah, well, and it's like, but I noticed that the cartoon kind of did it in reverse in the sense that Phoenix Saga ends with Jean, going into the sun to, guard the Emkron crystal for eternity, yeah. Cyclops brokenhearted, but then we have Dark Phoenix Saga, and with that one, Jean is, cured of the Phoenix Force and able to be around. So it's kind of interesting that they reversed it like that.
Yeah.
Of course, then we have in between. This is where the giant snafu of the episodes comes in. But yeah, I always thought that was weird. And hey, gotta love the cameos that that Phoenix Saga and Dark Phoenix Saga threw in. Like I know I know one of them. I think maybe Dark Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the fact that in Phoenix Saga we had War Machine and Spider-Man trying to save people while the world and the universe are about to implode. I remember there was one of them, I want to say Dark Phoenix Saga, where Phoenix is flying off and we had a bunch of cosmic and mystic characters from Marvel show up to be like, what is that? have that. Oh, something's going on. And I think also in one of them also we had Captain Britain did a cameo. We just had him flying around. He sees Phoenix kind of in the sky in the back, and he turns around what the bloody hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
What's all this then? So it was cool having those little cameos. And again, it's something I think I mentioned this when we recorded season one, way back in the episode. The '60s.
Mm-hmm.
Talking episode count for the podcast, not the actual year.
67.
Yeah, 67. When we were talking, I talked about one of the great things about the cameos, X-Men characters, but also Marvel Universe. So it's
it's Marvel Universe.
This is taking place in the MU.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is just, the Phoenix Saga is, yeah, I mean, epic is the only word that can describe it. And heck,
yeah,
I mean,
pretty much.
And the TV show does a pretty decent job of bringing that over, because in the comics, I mean, we had the stuff with Eric the Red, we had the X-Men traveling to another galaxy, heck, we even had Fire Lord from former Herald of Galactus show up for a couple of times, and Dark Phoenix Saga, same thing, not as cosmically epic, but still wow, just it's one of those things that at the end you're just like, holy cow, this has been a story.
Yeah, absolutely it has. Absolutely it has. There, yeah, between Phoenix and Dark Phoenix, honestly, I know there are other episodes in this season, but really between the five part Phoenix Saga and the four part Dark Phoenix Saga.
Yeah.
That's 9 episodes of just wow.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh my god. It's just so cool. Just so very cool.
What's really cool is they really didn't touch on this in the cartoon, but the Emkron crystal is supposed to be guarded by, it's supposed to have aliens guarding it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first alien is this little, it looks like this little guy, this little tiny guy, just a couple of feet. But this guy is so strong, he actually punched Wolverine into orbit.
Yeah.
Like,
That's how. And then there was this other. And then like he got beaten. But then this new guardian shows up, which was like 20 feet high, and he just matter-of-factly says, "Okay, you beat the guy before me, but I'm the next guardian in line. I'm 1,000 times more powerful than him. You beat me. Next guy over is going to be 1,000 times more powerful than me." So it's like, oh dear God! It's like being stuck in like the worst boss battle you can imagine. So it's like, yeah, you know, it's just going to get progressively worse until you're just going to get your ass kicked.
Absolutely. Now, I will say, folks, I watch these episodes. I watch the series on Hulu. The Hulu order is very different than what is listed online. We do have, like I said, the 9 episodes that make up Phoenix and...
Dark Phoenix.
And yeah. Dark Phoenix. But in between those, we have, like, Obsession and No Mutant is an Island and Longshot and Savage Land, Strange Heart. Cold Comfort, Orphan's End, Courage, and then it ends with Sanctuary 1 and 2. It has Secrets Not Long Buried, Love in Vain, Xavier Remembers, and it ends with A Deal with the Devil, which is another Omega Red episode. So, I'm not sure of the, like, that's why I tweeted at X-Men TAS, like, what's the real order for story? Like, what's the real story order here?
Yeah.
They make sense, kind of, sort of, on the Hulu listing of watching them. Like, I didn't feel like I was out of place or anything watching these on Hulu. When we get to season 4 next week, I will be out of place a little bit because on Hulu, Beyond Good and Evil is in the middle and not at the end, which is weird. Like, the last episode of season 4, because season 4 is only has 15 episodes... Last episode is Bloodlines, and I'm like, wait,
yeah,
what?
That...
Like, no, like, can you just move those up, Hulu? Can you kind of correct that, I guess, and whatever?
Well, it's even worse. I mean, it's worse because, okay, you have the Hulu, I guess the Hulu order, I guess, is supposed to be, like, the actual order of episodes.
Yeah.
Like, what they come in. On IMDb... They have it in order of air date, which, and the problem is that that's where we run into the thing where then stuff is all over the place.
Absolutely.
Because air date, right after Phoenix Saga, we have Savage Land, Savage Heart, and Savage Land, Strange Heart. Then we have Obsession. Then it goes into Dark Phoenix. And then the season is Cold Comfort, Orphan's End, Juggernaut Returns, Nightcrawler, and Weapon X Lies in Videotape.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff. I will say though that one of the things I will say that as far as being problematic, I will say that okay, where the problem goes is the fact that we have No Mutant is an Island, which has Scott taking like a vacay from the X-Men because he's still mourning the fact that Jean has disappeared. I remember when the Savage Land two-parter came out. That we had a reference to the fact that and Jean is on, you know, Scott is with Jean over in Muir Island, and I'm like, wait, what? Wait, hold on here, because she's supposed to be in the sun. Did I miss something? It's kind of like when they had the alternate ending to the Genosha two-parter in season 1, and then you have like the Juggernaut episode where the mansion's obliterated. It's like, wait a minute, stop. Did I miss an episode? Wait, what's going on here? So yeah, having No Mutant as an Island, it then turns, you know, having it where it is, it makes it then a more of a, you know, they have it, the air date was in season 5. So that makes it more like a flashback episode than an ad, because, again, we have Scott taking a vacay, trying to sort his feelings, and at the end finding out, wait, we found Jean, and it's like, I have a reason to live again and not be emo mopey, yes! Stuff like, well, the fact that at the end of, one thing I will, Orphan's End, that's not as much of a problem, because Corsair is talking to Cyclops and going, oh, so you're marrying that woman who saved the universe? Indicating probably after Dark Phoenix, so its placement is okay. The rest of the episodes, the placement's weird, but like, for example, the other four of the last five of season three, they could probably be okay, because if anything, the having Cyclops and Jean missing, you could always just say that, you know, you could always just, like, I took it to mean that, well, Cyclops and Jean are just, like, you know, Jean's resting and recovering,
yeah.
And, you know, and Cyclops is just there with her because, hey, he loves her. So, you know, right. It's one of, like, there's no dialogue that specifically says, well, what can we do? Because Cyclops is still, you know, Cyclops is with Jean on Muir Island. You know, like, there's nothing dropping that specifically, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing telling that it could be this or it could be that.
It's only the Savage Land two-parter, and No Mutant is an Island that we really have the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you want me to really break your brain? We've been talking about the episode order for season 3 and season 4. How about the disc episode order for the actual discs for volume 4, volume 3 and volume 4? Disc 1 on X-Men Marvel Comic Book Collection volume 3. Disc 1 lists Savage Land, Strange Heart, two-parter. Obsession, then Dark Phoenix is the first seven episodes on disc 1. Disc 2 is Cold Comfort, Orphan's End, The Juggernaut Returns, Nightcrawler, Weapon X, Lies and Videotapes, What One Man's Worth, and then Courage. Volume 4 is Proteus 1 and 2, Sanctuary 1 and 2, Beyond Good and Evil 1 through 4 on the first disc for Volume 4, and then Have Yourself a Morlock Little Christmas, The Lotus and the Steel, Love in Vain, Secrets Not Long Buried, Xavier Remembers, and Family Ties is disc 2. And that's for volume 4. So, and that's coming from my good buddies over at TV Shows on DVD X number of years. Like, this announcement was back in 2009, obviously. So, yeah. So there is that. And yeah, that's the only. I was looking to see if they had any other news articles with the actual episode lists on them, and they don't. Oh wait, Cap? How the hell was Cap and Red Skull in season 5? I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, because they had an episode that had a flashback to Wolverine and.
That's right. Okay, so season 3.
You know,
go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. There may be a ray of hope that may put this whole debate about episode order in the later seasons to bed.
Okay.
Which is some of the people behind the X-Men cartoon are going to be releasing a book called Previously on X-Men.
Yes.
Which is about the making of the cartoon and whatnot. Hopefully that will have the actual real canon order to things.
Yeah. We gotta get Julie and Eric on here so we can actually talk to them.
Yeah. Or even, you know what, even we gotta find a way to get maybe even Larry. Like, Larry could probably give us a hand with that too. You know, Larry Houston. I can't believe I'm actually calling him Larry. It's like, I spoke to him once, and I follow him on Facebook. I don't know if I've earned the right. I don't know if I've earned the right to call him by his first name. I mean, I'm sure he probably wouldn't mind, but, you know, still, I kind of don't want to be presumptuous.
Yep,
but,
exactly.
But... Hopefully that book, or, you know, talking to Eric Leewald and Larry Houston and others will, you know, put to rest exactly when this was supposed to happen. Because that's the problem. Like, season 3 is where, everything just starts to go haywire, because episodes are just all over the place.
Yep.
So it's like, I don't even know. Yeah, it's like, when I was preparing for this, I'm like, okay, do we go with air date order? Do we go with, like, official order? I don't,
All as I want is, and so far, it's made sense watching on Hulu. It's not going to make sense in season 4 when Beyond Good and Evil is like in the middle of the damn season. It's not going to make sense. But all as I really want is a list of the X-Men 92 animated series episodes from season 1 to season 5 that are story order. I don't care about air date. I don't care about production. I want it to make sense for the story. Like, okay, for example, you go over to IDW Publishing. They have the Turtles hardcover, the TMNT ongoing hardcovers, where they present the comic in story order. It's not broken up. It's not this. It's not that. So, you know, it just, yeah, story order, please. So.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, at least, and I see that IDW did the same thing with, Transformers, with their main Transformer comics.
Yeah, with, where they have collections Phase 2. That
put it, they pretty much, I mean, I've heard some debate in like, where a couple of things are placed, but they do have, like, collections that put everything in pretty much in order.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say that at the very least, like, you know, at the very least, in the episodes, like, yeah, Beyond Good, I think you were telling me that you think of Beyond Good and Evil as pretty much a series finale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say, though, that at the very least, it's not like, at least putting it in the middle, like, yeah, putting it in the middle of season 4 really doesn't make sense. But at the same time, at the very least, story-wise, it's not like the episodes that are put later. It's not like there's references, you know, it's not like Beyond Good and Evil references stuff that happened in there.
Yeah, you know? No, not, I know, but know, it's I mean, for me, it's more of a sticking point than anything else, because I just... Beginning, middle, end. If your ending is supposed... And I understand the point of the information that was, oh, well, they did. They did do this as an ending. They did Beyond Good and Evil as the ending of the series. And then Fox was like, hey, here's more money. Give us more episodes. Yeah, or whatever it was. I'm not saying anything bad about that. Like, that shit happened with Justice League when they ended it with epilogue and all that. And then, oh, hey, we want to, you know, do Unlimited and whatever else. So I'm not saying anything against that. I'm just saying whomever is at Hulu or whomever is controlling this stuff needs to put the order correctly is more so what I'm saying. It's not really anything about anybody that worked on the X-Men 92 cartoon at all, because they all did amazing, amazing work.
Yeah. So hopefully again, when previously on X-Men comes out, hopefully that can be used by a site like Hulu or, you know, or Netflix or whatever to present it in the order it was intended. You know, and then we do get Beyond Good and Evil at the end of season 4, and then we get, you know, the additional stuff with the different animation company in season 5, like, after that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think right now it all depends on what, if they do have like the something about the episode order in previously, that then we'll find it, we'll know for sure. You know, because that is done involving the people who made the show. So that has this kind of, okay, this like word of God aspect where, okay, we need to follow this because this is how they did it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Word of God, damn it.
Yes. Word of Magneto, damn it.
Where do you want to go there?
Well, it's either that or you follow Gambit, you know, down to the swamp.
Well, hey, I don't know. I mean, a lot of ladies dig Gambit, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. And he digs one.
Yeah, follow Xavier. There you go.
Just not his astral self, because his astral self is evil as all shit. Holy crap. I did like that, and I think we do need to talk about that, where as part of, it was Phoenix or Dark Phoenix, where he goes all astral. I think it's Dark Phoenix. Yes, oh, it's Dark. It's Dark Phoenix.
Is that where it's him versus Jean?
Yes, where it's like basically yeah, where it's in the beginning, it's him attacking everybody. Remember? And they're like, "Why are you attacking us?" Yada yada yada. Hmm. And they think it's some sort of imposter or whatever, but it really is him. And then Wolverine's like, "It's not him. I can't smell him." You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Dark Shroud. That's what it's called. It
that's
was in Phoenix
Saga. Oh, it wasn't Phoenix. Okay,
it wasn't Phoenix Saga. Yeah.
Either way, my point is the story of Xavier's astral self, or basically talking about his powers, that in the aftermath he says, "I've worked for years trying to hone my powers and trying not to let my emotions get the best of me, because this is what happens if I do. This is what happens if I let go," or whatever else. So I absolutely love that. I thought that was great that they explored that. And honestly, up to this point in season three, for the first three seasons, how they've explored each individual team member's powers, we don't really need a lot of explanation for Jubilee. I mean, we got the whole Knight of the Sentinels thing. She's a mutant. She has, mutant firework things or whatever. But, like Wolverine, that, they did his origin. They've done, like, kind of Scott and Jean's origin. They even talk about, later on in the series, they talk about, Cable, he's our son, and yada, 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 and all that, and everything else. They give more, like, I really thought Morph was that, I hate to use this term, but blame Not Another Teen Movie for this, please, not me. I originally thought Morph was going to be the token black guy of the series, where he shows up for 5 minutes, gets killed, and we never see him again. But no, they bring him back. They redeem him. They give him character development. And that is so, I think that is so well done.
It was nice to give him to, and yeah, I kind of thought too that he was just the sacrificial lamb, just to kind of show off that, yep, this is a battle that has consequences. But yeah, they brought him back. They actually made him they did the villain thing, but I like that they did the villain thing, but then he got out of it, and then they kind of had him take a break. But I did like the episode where he came back, and the fact that it's him kind of dealing with his his little dying PTSD.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got a cameo by Classic Angel when Morph like transformed into him.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. Absolutely. Alright, so yes, we are gonna continue to watch kind of how does the season hold up. I think outside of the technical issues with episode order and whatever else, all of these episodes are very enjoyable. Especially the two big story arcs that are here. Absolutely love them both. Again, as we said last week, probably children anywhere from 12 and up, I would say. 11 might be a little too young for this season specifically.
This season's a little darker. But I still think if it's a mature enough one, they might be able to handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Okay, there might be a little bit of trauma involved when Jean has to... do her long distance job in the sun, but it's not. I would say that it's not so bad that we're not talking having to call the call the producers and the director and be like, "You traumatized my child," kind of like when
Optimus Prime. My son won't come out of his closet.
Yeah, exactly. And the show is old enough that you could be like, Wait, but look, she's back. She comes back, see? It's not like you got to...
Phoenix also rises. Yeah.
Yep. You don't have to go through an entire season half a season where there's no Jean and then be like, look, it's okay. You can come out of your room now. She's alive. See, look, she's alive. I'm not lying. I promise.
At least they didn't do to her what they did to Optimus. They killed him. Dark Awakening brought him back as a zombie. It's like, hello, traumatized enough over here.
Well, it's like what the TF wiki did. It's like showing a shot of like the zombie Optimus Prime, and it's like, yes, kids, this is how you're gonna remember your hero.
Yep, absolutely. All right, overall rating for season 3, 0 to 5. You can use half points for me. I'll give it a 4, I guess.
Wow. I'm going to give it a 3.5, not because of story quality or anything like that, but just because this is where we start to hit the
bump in the road, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, and it's like, yeah, it, yeah, the, it's the bump in the road that did it. It's not the quality. It's like so difficult because like one of the I watched it in air date order, so you know you have stuff like you also have stuff like the Nightcrawler episode, which I love, especially because it's like, wait a minute, we're gonna be talking religion here. You know, we're going to be, you know, we're going to be all about, you know, we're actually going to approach that in a Saturday morning cartoon. It's like, holy cow, you know, especially seeing Wolverine kind of trying to give it a try. It's like, all right, I think I'll do this pray to God stuff. Let's see what happens.
Bub. Yeah. All right. We're going to take one final break. We're going to come back with last words after this.
Penny for your thoughts, Spider-Man. I mean you no harm. I just want to talk.
I've heard all I want to hear from you X-people. Excuse me.
All right, we are back here on Tooncast Beyond, episode 77, season 3 of X-Men, the animated series. Anything we left out that we want to bring up before we get out of here?
Not much. I mean, you know, and again, I kind of, it's weird talking about these seasons because everything's just so jumbled. It's like, I don't know if we could talk about this episode or not. I mean, I suppose next time when we do season 4, you know, we could have a little bit more leg room, but it's just confusion.
Yep.
So much confusion. My brain is doing the hurting. I need the brain specialist.
I was going to say, what the hell does Gumby and Pokey have to do with it?
Monty Python. Monty Python, the Gumbies.
Okay, well.
Mm. Yes, I am the brain specialist.
Meek. Anything you want to promote before I close the show?
Yeah. As usual, I'm still a part of Keeping It Reels. You know, you can find us on Tarpeo. You can find our Facebook page, which is Let's Be Reels. And yeah, we got, well, this is, I believe that this episode is going to be airing right before, basically the week right before Halloween.
Something like that. Halloween is actually the anniversary of the show.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, yeah. It's going to be, well, you know, if you're listening to this week before Halloween, I would suggest that you definitely will want to listen to Keeping It Reels, the episode that we're doing. It's going to be all about, because it's Halloween, we're going to be talking all about Nightmare Fuel. So, you know, chances are, I mean, I know I have my list of stuff, of Nightmare Fuel stuff, and that includes, for example, basically almost all of Secret of NIMH and a lot of the Don Bluth catalog, the original Wicker Man, and of course one of my personal animated favorites, the Brave Little Toaster and the song Worthless. Yes, kids, we're gonna be singing while talking cars are getting killed. But yeah, that's just a tiny sneak preview of what I'm doing, and sorry to hijack. Listen. Listen in, because it's going to be live Saturday. It's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. If you're in Central Mountain, figure it out. Do the math. I suck at math, so I can't help you.
But basically, it's 9 Eastern, 8 Central. So
thank you. Oh, there you go. Okay, there you go. See there, there you go.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah. Mike
now, now, when it comes to mountain time, that's when it gets hard. Screw that time zone.
Yeah, just whatever time zone you're in, okay? Like, just work it from there.
Yes, exactly. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of Tooncast Beyond. We'd like to thank you for joining us here on the show. And, of course, we would invite you to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can check out all of our content besides this episode, along with this and everything else. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Tooncast Beyond is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG and Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter?
And my Twitter, of course, White Balloon King, but spelled WHTBLLNKING, because, of course, Twitter gave me a limit.
Yes. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on X-Men the Animated Series Season 4. It's the end of the world, folks. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Eduardo M. Fryer.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.